I've been preaching the last few weeks from Romans chapter 8, so I want to go there this morning as part of my text. And what we've been preaching about is God's plan of salvation. Not man's plan of salvation, but God's eternal plan of salvation. And, excuse me, just for a minute. Got to wet my whistle a little bit. By the way, one sip is good for about a 10-minute talk. So if I go for another sip, it's going to be another 10 minutes on the sermon. So if you'll listen quick, then the sermon will get over a little quicker. So stay with me and say amen every now and then, and we'll get through this, all right? What is God's plan of salvation? It's explained very plainly here in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's God's plan of salvation. Now, we've been witnessing God saving sinners here for the last month. We have three people whom the Lord has saved over the last month. And the unusual thing about that is it's three sisters from one family. I don't think I've ever witnessed that in my years of ministry. And another great thing about that is three of my grandchildren whom the Lord has been pleased to save. But as we think about the Lord saving Ella, and then the Lord saving Ava, and then the Lord saving Callie over the last 3 or 4 weeks, we think about how that fits into God's plan of salvation. So how did they come to faith in Jesus Christ? Well, here's how they did it. Before the foundation of the world, God set His love on. He foreknew, He foreloved Ella and Ava and Callie. Now, they weren't around to take part of this discussion. They contributed nothing for God setting His love on them. God sovereignly exercised His prerogative and said, I want her, and I want her, and I want her. That's what Romans 8 says. Now, you can try to beat around the bush. You can try to skirt it if you want to, but you can't. It's there. God foreloved these people. Now, because God set His love on Ella and Ava and Callie, He also predestinated them to be conformed to the image of His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And predestination means exactly what it says. He predetermined their life. God exercised His sovereignty again to do that. And to Him we owe praise, honor, and glory for Him exercising that authority upon His creatures that He has made, which He has every right to do because He is the Creator. And because Ella and Ava and Callie had been predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, God set a lot of things in motion to call them to faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, He used their Christian parents, Candace and Josh, to point them in the right direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did that by attending church. They did that by attending preaching. They did that by having private conversations with their children at home. And I can bear witness to the fact that Ella and Ava and Callie have had long discussions over the last several years with Mom and Dad and then me as well and then others. So God has brought a lot of influences into their life to teach them and preach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is God is holy and we are sinners, and Jesus Christ is our only mediator. And if you ever wish and hope to escape the wrath of God, You must come to Jesus Christ, and he must forgive you of your sins, and so on. So God has called them. This calling means effectually called. It means through the preaching of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, they were not only convicted of their sins, but they were regenerated by the Spirit of God. They were born again by God's Spirit breathing upon their dead hearts and giving them the gifts of faith and repentance. So the Holy Ghost moved upon them. They were born again first, and then they repented and believed in Jesus Christ because of his gracious gifts of faith and repentance. As soon as God saved Callie and Ava and Ella, he justified them. That's the next word in this passage. He declared them to be just because Jesus Christ's sinless life and sacrificial death has been imputed to Callie and Ava and Ella. So God imputed that to them. And then we naturally think, well, what can we give God? Well, they gave God their sins and their guilt and their shame and their condemnation. And he freely took it upon himself and paid for it in full. Now, friends, if that doesn't blow your mind, there's something wrong with your little mind. For God to take all of your condemnation and wrath and place it upon his dear Son, and for the Son of God to willingly accept that and then to give you his righteousness that he acquired by living in a complete obedience to the law of God, lived a sinless life for 33 years, and that holy transaction was made so that the Father was satisfied and said, it is finished. The debt has been canceled. So God called them to faith, and then he justified them. And if Callie and Ava and Ella were to die today, they would wind up in heaven. They would be in glory. Why? Because that's the end result of God saving sinners. So that's what we've been preaching and teaching. And God has saved three people based on that. Now, how do we know that that plan of salvation applied to Callie and Ava and Ella? We know that because that applies to every single person that will be saved. Let's work this thing backwards. Let's start in verse 30 and ask the question, who will be glorified? That is, who will end up in a state of glory in heaven forever? According to this verse, who will be glorified? Those whom God justified. So we back up one. Who will be justified? Those whom God will call. And whom will God call? Those whom God has predestinated. And whom did God predestinate? Those whom he set his love on before the foundation of the world. So we thank you, Father, so much for saving Ella and Ava and Callie. We give you praise, honor, and glory by working in their hearts through the gospel of Jesus Christ and through the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. And now one of the next steps that a Christian takes after they have been saved by God is to be baptized. Now let me say from the get-go that baptism, those waters up there, they will not save you. There is no salvific merit in those waters whatsoever. As a matter of fact, that's probably Wren Lake water. It's going to make you a little dirtier than you were before you go in. It has no cleansing effect whatsoever. And the act of baptism itself is an act of obedience that we give to God. It has no salvific merit whatsoever either. So are Ella and Ava and Callie completely saved right now without being baptized? Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. I don't care what the biggest church in Mount Vernon teaches and preaches. You cannot be saved by faith plus baptism. That is a false gospel. And it causes God to get a little angry about that too, because it cheapens his grace, makes it dependent upon something that we as puny humans can add to God's gracious plan of salvation. So Ava and Ella and Callie are going to be baptized today. Not so that they will salvation will be complete. They're going to do it because out of obedience to their hearts that they want to follow Jesus. And when we do baptism by immersion. I have a lot of good friends who are Presbyterians and Methodists and other denominations who can, they believe in sprinkling people as the mode of baptism, or they pour water on their head as their mode of baptism. And historically, churches have done that. They've done those two modes, but they've been dead wrong when they've done it, because the word baptism simply means immersion. It means to go down and come back up, and it paints a perfect picture of what's already happened to them. As Callie, Ava, and Ella will stand up in the baptistry, they're saying, I have died with Christ. And as I take them under, I've been buried with Christ. And as they come back, now I've been raised with Christ to live a life of obedience unto Him. So we thank the Lord that He has clearly taught the proper mode of baptism, which would be immersion, although we almost had a little hitch happen last night. I came and filled the baptistry Wednesday night. I didn't check to see that the drain valve was completely closed. And so I called Brad yesterday and said, hey, could you go up and turn the heater on to the baptistry? And so he goes up and he texts me and says, hey, Jim, the baptistry is empty. The water has drained out. And so we got to figuring, he figured out the valve wasn't closed completely, filled it up again, turned the heater on. So we do have a place where we can immerse people. I jokingly said to Brad, we may just have to sprinkle them tomorrow. I don't know. But and then it was raining on the way here, so maybe we can just go outside and let the rain baptize them. But the Lord prevented us from doctrinal heresy, and He allowed us to fill the baptistry again, and we're going to do it proper by immersion. Now, we thank God so much for Him being gracious to saving sinners. And then here's the thing, Ella and Ava and Callie, you all are being baptized, and all these witnesses here are going to give validation to the fact that you believe that God has saved you, and you want to be baptized as an act of obedience to portray to this cloud of witnesses, but also that cloud of witnesses, that you want to walk with Jesus, like the psalmist talked about in Psalm 101. You'll have a resolution list. You will do this, you will not do that. And so these people are witnesses of that. But if you decide to go otherwise, if you decide, I don't want to do that anymore, and when these witnesses see you out in public, or they see you wherever you are, and you've quit going to church, you've quit following the Lord, they're going to say to you, hey, I was there when you gave your testimony and when you were baptized. But more importantly is, you're doing this in front of the Lord. This is your public identification as a Christian. And so we want this to be a very serious and sober service, but we also want it to be one of great rejoicing as well. So tears are welcome, and clapping is welcome, and smiles are welcome, and what have you. But let me end by saying this before we baptize these three. Now, Callie and Ava and Ella do not need to be congratulated for today's baptism. They deserve no praise whatsoever, because they did nothing except bring their sin to God. God did everything else, solely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So it's not only improper, but it's robbing God of His glory if you were to come up to someone who's being baptized and say, I want to congratulate you for making a decision to follow Jesus. You've just congratulated them for saving themselves. That's what you've done. No. you can come up to them and say, thank God he has saved you and thank you for your obedience unto him to be baptized. That'd be fully proper, fitting and proper as well. But somehow we've got this thing turned around and we think that the sinner does something to contribute to salvation. Nothing could be further from the truth. So this service is to glorify God and magnify him. Amen. So when we baptize in just a moment, we're just going to thank God for saving sinners and bringing them into his family and rejoice because of that. Now, there may be someone here today who you're still lost in your sins. You have never been born again. That is, God has never sent his Spirit to breathe life into you. Now, you may have attended a church, you may read your Bible, you may be a good person, the way we measure goodness, but you've never been born again. You're still on your way to hell. God is angry with you. God, according to the psalmist, hates you right now. But on the other hand, God is loving and forgiving against you as well. That's something God can do. We can't do that, but God can. And so I challenge you, if anybody is here and you've been struggling with your sin and you want forgiveness of sins and you want out from under the burden and the guilt of your sins, then come to Jesus right now. Say to him, Lord, I want you. If you'll have me, sin and all, I'm yours. Anyone here this morning who feels like God is calling you to faith in Jesus Christ and repentance of your sins? Anybody here? Now's your time. You're in the house of God. You're amongst Christian people. God is speaking to your heart through the scriptures we read and the explanation of them. So now's the time to say yes to Jesus. Yes, I want you. Yes, I want forgiveness of sins. Come to Christ. Anyone? All right. Well, I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Then I'm going to head that way, and Callie and Ava and Ella are going to head that way. I think there's three robes in there. And Mom, you want to help them out over there? And Josh, I may need some help to get that robe on. Can you help me out with that? That's right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for salvation. Every time we think about it and preach on it, our mind just tilts because we just can't comprehend your great love for sinners, for worms, for degenerates like us. It's impossible to believe this without faith, but because of the gift of faith you have given us, we do believe that we have been fully pardoned. Our sins have been washed away completely by the sacrificial death of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been adopted by your Spirit to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, whereby we can call you Father. And we have this wonderful promise that when we die, we're going to glory. We're going to heaven. Not because of anything that we have done, not because of a prayer we prayed or an experience we have had or any of that stuff. We're going there because you foreloved us. You predestinated us. You called us by the preaching of the gospel and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You justified us and you have glorified us. And you have done it all, 110% of it. And you deserve all the glory and the honor and the praise. So as we baptize Callie and Ava and Ella this morning, may it be another tangible testimony of your saving grace. And may you continue to save sinners in this congregation and in this community as well. All for the praise of your glorious Son's name, we ask these things. Amen and amen.